Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things. It don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. An optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Well, welcome to another broadcast of Kingdom of God Ministries. We are so glad you could join us tonight. We are coming live from Atlanta, Georgia. I like to give our announcements. We currently meet Sundays at the Community Center. It's on 9550 Bells Ferry Road at 11 o'clock. Like I said before, it is an untraditional service where we meet, we worship, we praise God, and the main thing, we get the word. You're not going to get a lot of hype. You're not going to get a lot of emotionalism. But sometimes the spirit do come in and sometimes it do move. But we want to equip the body of Christ with the word so they can be prepared. There's a lot of wolves out in the land and their main purpose is to destroy the sheep. So as men and women of God, this is what we do. We're going to continue our discussion on can a Christian be a Mason? And once we conclude the broadcast tonight, then the choice would be up to you. If you are in masonry and you know some things that go on behind the scenes that you know is not acceptable in according to the word of God, then this should be a decision deciding factor for you when this message is concluded. You have the choice. You will make the choice. Will you hold on to what you believe, or will you hold on to what the Bible says? So the choice will be up to you. But we're going to bring you what we know to be true. We're bringing out different testimonies of people that were once in the masonry who the Holy Spirit convicted them and they got out of it. We're coming from that perspective. No, me myself has never been in it, or nor my husband. But there have these are testimonies of people who have actually witnessed what goes on in the secret places. And this is what we will be bringing out to you tonight. But before we start, I would like to always open up with prayer. And we always invite you to tell others about the programs. I want to say that we do have listeners every week, and our audience is growing. So if you are in the Atlanta area and you want to stop by just to support us, that would be great. We always look forward to people coming by and just supporting us in the ministry. Amen. Father God, we just want to thank you tonight. We thank you for your many wonderful blessings. We thank you most of all for your son that came, Jesus, that came, died, buried, resurrected, so that we may have a right to eternal life. Lord God, and we preach these things. This is the true word of God. We don't compare this to any other. There is no other name given unto man where we may be saved. But we know it's by your name, Jesus, Yeshua. Lord God, we give you praise. We give you glory. We ask that you open the eyes, Lord God. We're not talking about the all-seeing eye that they teach in this Masonic lodge. But we're talking about the illumination of the Holy Spirit, that the people's eyes will be open and they will see the abomination that goes on in some of these secret societies, and that your Holy Spirit will touch their heart. It will prick their heart, and they would have to come out of it and be ye separate. So, Lord God, we just thank you. We thank you that you bless in our ministry. We thank you that you provide for us, Lord God. We don't do it with compromise. What we do is freely. We give freely. Freely you gave to us, and freely we give to your people. We just thank you that you called us in this end time ministry to be bold soldiers, to stand up for truth, for righteousness. No, it may not be a popular doctrine or gospel, but we're going to speak it anyhow. And Lord God, we know you have some out there who want to hear the truth. Some is not gravitating to the masses, to the big buildings, just to hear an itching word. But they want the truth, and that's what we do tonight, Lord God. So we ask that you touch our physical bodies, strengthen our physical bodies, Lord. We ask that as we go forth that we will be vessels used by you. And we just want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I will be bringing my first part out, and then I'll turn it over to Pastor Bob, and he can go forth as the Lord lead him. But I just wanted to bring out some things about why would a pastor condone or defend Freemasonry? And this is something going on in the land, and I even as a child, I would hear people say, oh, he's a Mason. Well, see, with some people, that word Mason, to them, it holds a lot of clout. Popularity, status quo. If you're a Mason, you know, they say you got it going on. But let's break it down and see exactly what's going on, okay? At the present time, we know that Freemasonry is considered in a growing number of churches throughout the United States. We know that. Yeah, pretty much everybody, and you know somebody in your family that's a Mason, or in your extended family, that's amazing. So it's a growing thing, and it's been growing, like I say, since I was a child, and I'm well past 50-some years old. I'm all, you know, God has blessed me and preserved me, but I've heard of Masons since I was a child. Many people who have never been involved in Freemasonry know very little about it. That's why they call it a secret, because they want to keep you in the dark. They want to keep you ignorant. Even Christians, they're ignorant. They join up in these different cults and things, and they don't even know what's going on behind the scenes. Since we are at one-time members, this is his testimony. He said he was once a member of the lodge. He is able to shed light on the situation and help you understand the issues. Now, he's talking about from his own experience. This is not something that he heard through the grapevine. This is actually his testimony. In almost all cases, when churches consider the issue of Freemasonry, a strong stand against the institution is the result. In some churches, those in positions of authority have determined that considering the Masonic issue is not appropriate. They won't even discuss it in these churches. You know what you get here on Kingdom of God Ministry, some of the teachings you get. You are not going to hear it in your everyday Sunday worship. They're going to give you how to be prospered, how to live your best years now, how to be just walk in victory over any kind of circumstances. So they give you this hype. But what we give you is the true fact. And like I say, everyone is not going to be able to accept it. Some are going to throw it up because they don't want to hear the truth. But to those of you, there's a remnant that really want to hear what's going on. Let's continue. In some churches, those in positions of authority have determined that considering the Masonic issue is not appropriate. They won't talk about it. While before we address the specifics with this Freemasonry, it is helpful to have a scripture background of the underlying issues. And this is what Paul said. He says, Paul, in his farewell address to the elders of Ephesus, this is what Paul warned. He said he warned them to be on guard because savage wolves would attack the flock. This is what we've been teaching on for the last 3-4 weeks now. First we said what is going on in the church. Then we told you about how the wolves is coming to destroy the sheep, apostasy. So this is what we've been teaching. And if your eyes is opening, you begin to see some things that is happening throughout the land. And it's not just in the secular world, but it's in the church world. This is what Paul said in Ephesus. He said, therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he brought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. They don't care about the sheep. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So they're going to come teaching you lies, but it's only to draw you away from the truth, what the gospel of Jesus Christ, the disciples had laid down that doctrine. And it is to pull you away from the things of God. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, this is what Paul was saying, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. That's in Acts 20, 26 through 31. Then he says, Paul knew that the church would not only be attacked, but also infiltrated. He wrote to Timothy. Remember what we told you about Timothy? He told Timothy, urging him not to simply preach the gospel, but to always be prepared to correct errors and to rebuke those who embrace them. His advice for the pastors was as follows. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions. For the time will come, listen to this, when men will not put up with sound doctrine. They don't want to hear sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Do you see that now? We was looking at Oprah. She had Joel Osteen on the TV the other night. All he was doing is saying what engineers wanted to hear. He was saying nothing profound. And she's sitting there like she just in la la land. Oh my God, he's so. He was not saying anything. And I don't know how people could sit up and listen to that garbage, because he was not even saying nothing scriptural. But they have itching ears and they want to sit up here and listen to garbage because it catered to the flesh. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. That's 2 Timothy 4:2-5. And this is what he was telling us as ministers of the gospel. They're going to come telling you, if you go this way, we could get you to big church. We could give you this. We could give you that. But you got to compromise. And this is what we're bringing out today. We're talking about how the Freemasonry has infiltrated the church, and a lot of times the pastors is in agreement with it because of the kickback, because of the benefit. This is why they're in it. This is why they will not tell you the truth, because they're getting some kind of little fringe benefit out of it. Let's go on. Dear friends, although I was eager, he was just writing you in Jude, so I'm going to just skip down. But in the days that were the words of Paul, Jude, and other apostles who warned believers to stand firm reverberate loudly, the church is under attack from without, from within, and sometimes even from the pulpit. Don't you see that now? Many congregations have been infiltrated and compromised. The most cohesive group of infiltrators the church has ever seen are the Freemasons. They work behind the scenes to subvert the gospel and, in fact, meet in secret to teach salvation on the basis of another Savior. We know this to be the fact because we were members of the organization. We were Freemasons. And one of the testimonies they were saying how they do this is called Black Communion. But really it's a mockery of the communion. And then they'll pass the skull around where they drink out of the skull, a human skull, the wine. Oh, it's very demonic. And this is why I'm saying if you're partaking in this, and these are some of the high 32, 33 degrees. So if you had a lower level of masonry, you probably will never know what's going on when you get way up there. But really, it's all these contributions. How do you think you get to the top? It ain't because you're going to be most popularity. These people have to pay money to escalate all the way up to the top. So it's the same thing. If you pull, you're going to be down on the bottom, you know. Well, you might have the affiliation of Mason, but you might get a little kickback. They may can get you a little job or something like that, but you're not going to ever get anything big. You're just really compromising what you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ, just to get a kickback. Come on. Don't sell yourself cheap, okay? Let's go on. Masons are sworn to secrecy not once but three times before they participate in the ritual in which Hiram, H-I-R-A-M, Abiff, A-B-I-F-F, willingly dies, is buried, then raised from the grave. Sound like a mockery to me. At the conclusion of the ritual, those in the lodge are told to imitate Hiram, Abiff, so that they can get into heaven. When the fact that all of the men who participate in the ritual do not claim to be Christians is considered, this is seen not only to be a mockery of the death, the burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, but a clear statement that faith in Jesus Christ is not required to get into heaven. This is what they're teaching you. We are deeply grieved that we have participated in this falsehood and we were taken captive by such heresies. God, in his mercy, saw fit to lead us out of Freemasonry, and following our repentance, he has cleansed us from righteousness, unrighteousness. 1 John 1:8-9. He has released us from ungodly oaths we took in the lodge, Leviticus 5. We are not the only ones to leave the lodge. Other men continue to renounce Freemasonry. Some of them are bold enough to speak truth about the lodge, while others are so spiritually wounded from the experience that they remain dysfunctional for some time. A few former Masons continue to defend the lodge due to fear and spiritual bondage. I was listening to a man. He was doing a deliverance service, and this woman, she was bound up with Freemasonry. Well, when she denounced the spirit, The demon spirit went and got over on her 12-year-old daughter and started manifesting. What am I saying? Sometimes when you renounce these Freemasonry demonic spirits that have followed you from generation to generation to generation, they'll try to come back with a recourse. But that's why you got to be covered in the blood. Ask the Holy Spirit to protect you and break that thing off your families, off your children's children's children, because it is abomination and it has to be broken. Let's go on. Many of those who are currently involved in heresy of Freemasons claim to be Christians. Did you hear that? They claim to be Christians. But like I told you, with what go on behind the scenes, I don't know how you could continue in that. If you have a true relationship with God, you'll be just like this gentleman who wrote this testimony. It'll be something pricking in your heart, which is the Holy Spirit telling you, I'm not pleased with this. You would feel uncomfortable with it. If you are a true Christian, you cannot continue to do these different oaths and all this secret, taking secret oaths and things and not be convicted in your spirit. Many of those who are currently involved in the heresy of Freemasonry claim to be Christians. It's a significant number become Freemasons before they become church members. Some of those men have infiltrated the church by claiming that Freemasonry is not a religion, have taken many captives by a hollow and deceptive philosophy which depends on the teachings of a corrupt world system rather than faith in Jesus Christ. Since Freemasonry teaches salvation on the basis of imitating Hiram Abiff rather than faith in Jesus Christ, it seems absurd that a pastor would condone Freemasonry. But like you said, a lot of the pastors is in it. That's why they condone it, let alone defend it or actually embrace it. Yet that is what has happened in these last days in more congregations than we can count. It's a church right up the street from me. They got the Masonic thing over the church door. But people go there and they assemble and they worship, but they got that Masonic symbol over there. You probably know a lot of churches. They'll come up in there and they'll have their little hat on, the little Shriner's hat with the little tassel in the front. They're Masons. And I don't know how you could be a pastor and you condone this in your church. Apostasy is widespread today. Why would a pastor condone or defend Freemasonry? If we assume that a pastor understands the gospel of Jesus Christ, there are only two possibilities. Either he is ignorant of the facts concerning Freemasonry, or he knows the facts and has decided that the cost of opposing Freemasonry is too high. If it is possible that a pastor has not investigated the matter for himself, he may have asked one or more Masons in the congregation a few questions about the lodge and accepted the answers they give him. So he gonna just ask, if he ignorant about it, he may just ask a Mason, well, what go on in the Masonry? Well, it is not uncommon for Masons to hold positions such as Sunday school teacher or elder or deacon within many congregations. Often pastors have developed trust in such men. However, if the pastor believes he will get honest answers to significant questions from a practicing Mason, it is painfully obvious to us that he knows precious little about Freemasonry, because they're not going to disclose the secrets that go on in Freemasonry. So they're going to give you just a little brushed over, a little, this is what we do. We help the poor, and we have the Shriners Temple, and we do a lot of social things. So that pastor, that's going to appease them, because number one, he's ignorant. He's too lazy to find out really what's going on. Or like he said, he's probably in it himself, okay? Masons are highly motivated not to divulge the truth about Freemasonry. That's just what I told you. They keep it secret for two major reasons. First, they have taken oaths to keep such information confidential. So they're not going to tell you really what's going on. That sounds like the devil. The devil is going to, if he have to give you 9 parts truth and put one lie in there to pervert the gospel, that's what he will do. That's why the Bible says he's so cunning, because he will put a lie in there and deceive a lot of people off of a lie. That's why you have to know the word. The first of the oath taken while a man is blindfolded with a rope around his neck contains the following words. And then he go on to tell you the words that they speak in this lodge. Now, you got to put on a blindfold. They putting a rope around your neck. You got black hoods on, running around like some crazy. But you talking about you going to get some kind of power. God don't tell you to do all that. All he asks you to do is accept him. You'll have eternal life. What greater power do you need than living and reigning with Jesus Christ forever? God don't put you through all these rituals. Let's go on. Masons do not take these oaths, which they prefer to call obligations, lightly. So even they will, even to the, they will say that they will lay down their life if they divulge what go on in secret. And God tell you about all this secret thing, all these secrets and all this. He tell us we shouldn't even take an oath. But they do this. The second major reason why Masons do not reveal the teachings of Masonry is to outsiders, especially those in the churches, that Freemasonry would not be tolerated in church if the facts were widely known. Lodge members simply cannot afford to tell a godly pastor who is asking questions about Freemasonry the truth unless they are repenting. They must posture themselves as sincere Christians who are supporters of God's work. One convincing ploy which has been utilized to favorably influence pastors is the practice of some of the appended bodies of Freemasonry to send pastors on expense-paid tours of the Holy Land. You see how they get them? Money does it every time. You just flash some money in front of them, and some of these gullible pastors, they'll suck it up. They're not like the preachers, apostles of the Bible. They say, silver and gold I have none, but such as I have I give unto you. And they would tell them, rise and be whole in the name of Jesus. But these jokers in these pulpits, you got to wonder, what are they in it for? So all they got to do is, I'll send you on an expense-paid trip to the Holy Land. The secrecy which surrounds the organization enables you doubt as a defense when dealing with laymen and pastors who know only a little about the Masonic Lodge and yet are suspicious of the character of Freemasonry. When a non-Mason makes a claim that the teaching in the Masonic ritual is contrary to the gospel, this is what they say, a Mason may respond, say, statements similar to the following. So when you tell them, well, what y'all do not is contrary to the word of God, this is what they're going to come back and say. You have never been a Mason. How could you possibly understand the meaning of the ritual? There is far more to Masonic rituals than simply the words. You have to see the gestures, the facial expressions, and consider the context to understand it. If someone asks for an explanation, a Mason may dissuade the conversation by saying something like, I am simply not able to reveal that to you. We take an obligation to do our good works in secret. So that's how they're going to cut you off. Oh, we made an obligation. We can't divulge what go on in secret. So I really can't get into that with you. Have a nice day. The truth of the matter is that explanations for major portions of Masonic rituals are written in plain English and issued to Masons at the direction of the Grand Lodges. If non-Masons were to obtain one of these Grand Lodge documents and had a working grasp of the English language, he could understand the explanations in sufficient detail to accurately evaluate the character of Masonry. However, most non-Masons do not have access to Grand Lodge doctrine documents. So you see, they're going to just give you bits and parts. And like I said, and for the pastors who are ignorant and you sitting up in your congregation and you don't know what some of your people is participating in and you won't even address it, shame on you, because you're going to give an account. There are several factors which could motivate a pastor to fall into the second category, to condone or defend Freemasonry. Even though he knows that Freemasonry has a false plan of salvation, we will first consider the pastor who is not a Mason yet knows the fact. The pastor may have overestimated the strength of the Masonic influence within the congregation, and he may not feel that Christians in the congregation will support a stand for truth in the midst of the clamor, which may well result when the truth concerning Freemasonry is clearly proclaimed. Of course, he may correctly understand the level of the Masonic influence. In some Masonically infiltrated congregations, most or all of the elders and deacons are Masons. So you see, you got a whole church full of Masons. So what? But they're all in it. Many times, Masons attempt to recruit pastors. Satan wants the pastor to believe that he cannot possibly win a Masonic battle. So this is what it is to the pastors that is not into it. And I want to say this to you. Sometimes Satan makes you feel that you're the only one. You're like a John the Baptist, one crying out in the wilderness. But God got other men and women that are standing up for truth. And we're not going to let Satan take over God's kingdom, because we're going to keep standing, and we're going to keep preaching, and we're going to keep proclaiming the good news, which is the Bible. And there is no other word that we stand by other than the holy word of God. I don't need a Masonic lodge to support me. I don't need to get the status quo, because my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Let's go on. Satan will use fear into the attempt to cause the pastor to fall into a role of a teacher who will say only what itching ears want to hear. So you got all these big-time preachers, and Oprah has bought a lot of them. That's why when they get on her program, they only say what Oprah wants them to hear or wants them to say, because they're bald. They're bald. They're not going to tell Oprah she needs to repent, because she got money and she got them bald. John the Baptist, that king couldn't buy him. And he came to the king, and he told him, it's wrong for you to be laying with your brother's wife. Yeah, his head got cut off, but he stood for the truth. The devil don't want to hear the truth. That's why Oprah is not going to call me on your program, Oprah. I would love for you to invite me on your program, because I'm not going to compromise the gospel. I'm a woman to woman. You can call me, and I would gladly come on your show. The pastor may not realize that the apparent might of the oppression is not that important when you are on God's team. One plus God is a majority. So if we got God on our side, can't no devil in hell take us down. Because God is with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? If there are a significant number of men in the congregation who are meeting in secret to teach salvation on basis of the imitating Hiram Abiff, there is a significant number of Masonic church members who are in line to receive condemnation on Judgment Day. The larger the number of the Masons, the more imperative it is for pastors to speak the whole counsel of God. Some pastors are concerned that dealing with Masonic issues will cause division and destroy the unity of the church. Yet nothing could be further from the truth. When Masons are present, the church is already divided. Masons meet in secret to teach salvation on the basis of imitating Hiram Abiff, while Christians in the congregation openly share the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can there be any unity in the church if some secretly raise up another Savior or another Jesus? It is simply not possible. Unity in Masonically infiltrated churches is only an illusion. The only way unity has a chance is when there is total separation between church and the lodge. Those Masons who claim to be Christians should be given a choice, the church or the lodge. Which will it be? If they choose the lodge, the sooner they leave the church, the better. Christians can never reach unity with those who teach salvation on the basis of another Savior. We can't just coexist with every denomination. If you look in the Masonic Lodge, they have the Hindu book, they have the Bible, they have the Quran. We don't coexist with all these other Jesuses. There's only one God, one Savior, one Lord. The fact that they do not only in secret make no difference, any belief that addressing the Masonic issue will destroy unity can only be attributed to ignorance, spiritual immaturity, and demonic bondage. Sometimes a pastor will recognize that Freemasonry is Antichrist in nature, yet not oppose it due to spiritual bondage, which is brought to bear through family involvement in Freemasonry. So if you got generations of it, a lot of times the pastor's not going to address it because your grandfather was a Mason, your uncle a Mason, your mama Eastern Star, and it just goes generation, generation. And if you're in one of these little family churches, probably the whole family in it. Pastors who have fathers, uncles, brothers, or others they love who are involved in Freemasonry are reluctant to take a position which would condemn their own family members as well. So that's what I was telling you. Yet the fact of the matter is that remaining silent will not alter the eternal consequences for those family members who are already gone on, and it does not well serve family members who are yet alive. Freemasonry is a family curse. If members of the family have been involved in Freemasonry, the younger generation is more likely to become a Mason. If the pastor says nothing, some in his own family will likely conclude that since he is not opposing Freemasonry, it must be a good thing. Holding back when dealing with the Masonic issue because it will be painful for family members is equivalent to not spreading the gospel simply because it condemns all family members who have not accepted Jesus. Teaching salvation on the basis of imitating Hiram Abiff constitutes rejection of Jesus Christ. Will Jesus see it differently when you stand before God? Another factor, and then I'm going to say this, and then I'll get out your way and turn it over to Pastor Bob. Another factor can be motivate, compromise, and ambition. Many pastors have ambition to build a large church. Oh, I need to say that again. Many pastors have ambitions to build a big church. You are judged by the size of your congregation. The people don't look at you as teaching the word. If you don't have 5,000-plus members, you are judged by that. The world judges you. Oh, you're not doing anything. They don't measure what you're teaching. They look at the outward appearance. Many pastors have ambitions to build a large church. They have been seduced into believing that they can better serve God by getting as many souls as possible to join the church, concentrating simply on evangelism rather than defense of the gospel or discipleship training. The legacy of such leadership is immature Christians and others who believe they are Christians, yet have only an intellectual knowledge of the gospel. See what I'm saying? Many within such congregations have never been challenged to be on alert for false doctrine and are not equipped to defend the faith when the need arises. Some fall victim to the snare of Freemasonry and other cults. And this is what you see, this compromising spirit going on in the church. All they're doing is getting the people in there, but they're not teaching anything to mature them in the things of Jesus Christ. They're not mature Christians. That's why they can go whichever way the wind blows. One minute they're in the world. They have nothing. He said they have no roots. So when the storms of life, things come up in their life, you see them, they fall away because they're not built on a solid foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Word of God. This is the foundation that we teach so that it will in turn rise up strong, mature Christians so we can combat the enemy because there's a devil loose in the land. And the devil do not care if you're a sheep out there and you're ignorant of what's going on. He will take you hook, line, and sinker. because he's out to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's what he wants to do. While pastors have large congregations and enjoy a healthy salary, others are willing to settle for much less. They fear the Masons within the congregation. So you got some on both extremes. You got the ones who got the big churches, and then you have the little ones who fear that Masons within the congregation more than they fear God. They care more for their own salary, which provides for physical well-being of their family, than they care for the souls of men. In these situations, just a few Masons can effectively control the church. So you can see how the deacon on the deacon board can control the church, because a lot of times they Masons. And if you don't go the way the deacon say you're going, hey, we can get you out of that. So these pastors are compromising because they're more fearful of what that Masonic lodge can do. That's why I don't have no kickback. What we pay out of our own pocket. And if God touched some of you listening to Sow a Seed, thank God. But I don't need no little under the table, little handout, because we trust God, and God provides for us. I haven't missed a meal yet. God has sustained us. He has taken care of us. Amen? We are very concerned about pastors who know the truth yet condone Freemasonry, because souls are on the line. It was our souls, and it is those of our Masonic fathers, uncles, and brothers, which such pastors can concisively decide to allow to go to hell without a word of warning from their pulpits. We know that Freemasonry is a significant issue because as Masons, we were directly involved in teaching a false gospel. According to Galatians 1, 8 and 9, makes it clear that the penalty for teaching a false gospel is condemnation. And this is why we're bringing it out tonight, because we don't want you to be lost. We don't want you to be caught up, and then when you meet before the Lord, you say, well, Lord, my pastor never told me. I didn't know it was wrong. I didn't know. But see, God is saying the way we studied, the way we found out about Freemasonry, you can do it too. And that's why God gave us this platform, so we can bring it to you. We can bring you the Word of God, unadulterated Word of God, and it's true. So if you don't believe what we're saying, do some research. Do some study on it. Don't just take my word for it. But everything, you do some research on it. And at that, I'm going to conclude. I'm going to turn this part of this program over to the hands of Pastor Bob. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Truly enjoyed that message from Sister Montgomery. She really brought that out about these Masonic secrets, and that's what we're talking about tonight. Masonic secrets, part two. Now, I'm going to be bringing out some things in reference to the secret doctrine of Masons, and then I'm going to go into some scriptures to back up what we're saying. But I want to go into the various degrees, the nature of the Masonic Lodge, the lost key of Freemasonry, and one of the most important symbols of Freemasonry. And I will be brief in that area because there's a lot of things that I want to cover at this point. Now, the secret doctrine of Masons is it's a lot to it. We have the Scottish Rite. Then we have, which goes up to the 33rd degree. It goes from the 4th to the 33rd degree. Now, within the Scottish Rite, you have the Shrine Circus. You have the Shriners. You have burn centers. Now, you might say, well, those are good things. Those are good for society, and they are. But the thing about it, although they may be good for society and they help people, but the basis of it is based in falsity. As I said, they do good things, but the basics and the center of it and the crust of it is based in false religion. Now, the structure of Freemasons, the first 3 degrees, and all Masons will be in a blue lodge. They start from the blue lodge. That's the beginning of it. It is the interdependence, fellow craft, and the master mason. It may take a master mason anywhere, may take them up to 90 days to get that particular degree. Now, after the Master Masons, then it goes from the Scottish Rite, then it starts from the fourth degree on up to the 33rd degree. And so you see you have these various degrees that really shows the hierarchy of the Masons. Now, there are other aspects of Masons that deals with young men, girls, young women, and older women. Now, you have Demolay, that's a chapter of it that deals with young men. You have the Rainbow Girls, which deals with the girls, and the Book of the Masonic Law. You have Job's Daughters, that deals with the young women, and then you have the Eastern Stars. Now, the Eastern Stars are the wives and the daughters of Master Masons. So if someone says they are an Eastern Star, or you hear anything about that, these are women are wives and daughters of Master Masons. So you see they are ranking over the Rainbow Girls and Job's Daughters. Okay? Now you have the true nature of the Masonic lines is in reference to education, worship, and charity. You see? Education, worship, and charity. So Masons is a religion, basically. Now, the lost key of Freemasonry deals with Kabbalism, hermeneutics, and Rosicrucianism. Now, when you talk, these three things that I mentioned is different various religions, because a Mason, really, he doesn't have a set religion like Christianity. He deals with all other different types of religion, and they honor all of them. So they can be in all kind of different beliefs and religions, and it's all right with Masons. So you can be into Hinduism. You can be, like you say, Kabbalism. You can be in Buddhism. You can be an Islam. You can be a Christian, and you can be in some other type of religions and be a Mason, because that's how they look at it. They're coexistent mindset. Now, the most important symbol of Freemasons is the legend of the third degree. Sister Montgomery spoke a little bit of that earlier in reference to Hiram Abiff. Now, you say, well, who is Hiram Abiff? Well, Hiram Abiff is equal to, in the eyes of Mason, Jesus Christ, the true and living God, Jesus Christ, Hiram Abiff. So they mix that all up in there, and they, you know, they have different scriptures to back up what they were saying in reference to Hiram Abiff. Now, they also believe in the immortality of the soul, but that is salvation without Christ, because it is salvation through Masonry, salvation via Hiram Abiff. Okay? And they have some other words or writings or readings that's in reference to Hiram Abiff, how Hiram Abiff is the one that gave up his life, died, and rose on the third day, and all of this, and you can come into immortality through Hiram Abiff, not necessarily Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the son of the living God. Now, I want to go a little further. I just wanted to bring that out a little bit in that regard. And most of the teachings of Masons is by allegories and symbols. So that's why they have so many symbols, have so many allegories, have all kinds of different hand signs, hand signals, body signals, all these types of signals, and all the type of things that they do in their various religions and secret quarters. But one thing I want to bring out to you is in Ezekiel 8:6-14. And they say, well, why am I going here? Because this is in direct reference to all these different secret societies and sects. Now, one thing I want to bring out in Ezekiel 8:6-14 is this. Ezekiel 8 and 6 read, he said furthermore unto me, son of man, seest thou what they do? The Lord God is telling Ezekiel the things that they do in secret in the temple, where nobody is watching, nobody is seeing these secret things that they do. But I'm going to bring out something even the great abominations that the house of Israel committed here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary, but turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abomination. Do you see what God said? He said that I should go far off from my sanctuary. So when you have these people doing all these things that's contrary to the word of God, contrary to the will of God, and they are antichrist and anti-God, God said that he's not in that. He said he's far from my sanctuary, that I should go far from my sanctuary. Why? Because they are doing things contrary to the law and the will of God, and God is not in it. That was the very reason why when Jesus Christ walked the earth, he spoke so harshly against the scribes and the Pharisees, because Jesus knew what they were doing in the temple. And he was not in that. He was not a part of that, even though they said that they were living for God. They were not. They were lying and deceiving people and taking advantage of people, and they were not taking care of the souls of the people. They were not leading them to God as they should have, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ blasted them every time he got a chance. They tried to trick him. They tried to trap him in his words. They couldn't do it because he was and is the Son of the living God, the Word of God incarnate. How are you going to trap the Word of God incarnate with words when he is the Word? It's impossible. It cannot be done. It cannot be done. But this is what these people try to do. They try to trap people in their words and in their actions and in their outward appearance. Because men look at outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. That's how they get people. Oh, yeah, they'll do some good things. They have the shrine and the circus. They have burn centers. They feed the hungry. They do things like that. But it's just to get you involved, to get you in, to sucker you in, to suck you in. And then when they get you in, then they deceive you more, and they deceive you more, and they deceive you more, and they deceive you more. And next thing, you won't know where you are. You really won't know who you're worshiping unless God opened your eyes. It's just like when Jesus met the woman at the well. He had a discourse with her. He talked to her a little bit. I asked her for some water, and she went to saying some things. You know, Jews don't deal with Samaritans, and you know, Jesus had a conversation. Well, if you knew who I was, you would do what I ask. But then Jesus told the young woman that you know not what you worship. We know what we worship because God gave it to us. So you get in some organizations like this, and you won't know who you're worshiping unless God opened your eyes. Now, we're going to go a little further than this. Now, I want to bring out some things. I want to go to Romans 1, 20 through 23. Then I'm going to go into some other scriptures. I'm going to bring up polytheism, and which many of you know what that is. And I'm going to go to pantheism. I'm going to bring that out. Now, Romans 1, 20 through 23 reads as this. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power, and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And that's what these people do, and these various sects. They come to you with all this supposedly secret knowledge, professing themselves to be wise, but they became fools. Why? Because they rejected Jesus Christ. Because they rejected the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they count him of no avail. But they'll tell you to worship this or that that pulls you further and further away from God and Christ. The true salvation, the true word, the true deliverer. The true deliverer. The only way you can be saved. There's none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ, the anointed one. The anointed one, Jesus Christ, is the only way that you're going to make it into the kingdom of God. That's your only salvation, is through Jesus Christ. It's not through any other way. I don't care what people tell you. There are not many ways to God. There are not many ways to get into the kingdom of God. Now, God can draw you to Christ through various ways, through various things that happen to you, through various circumstances, but there's only one way to God, and it's not through the Masonic Lodge, and it's not through any other secret society. It's not through any human being, no rock star, no Hollywood actor, no singer. The only way you're going to get to eternal life is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's the only way. You got to accept him as Lord. You got to confess your sins to him. You have to forgive. You have to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and believe he is the Son of the living God, and that he died, was buried, and resurrected on the third day, and that you might have eternal life. You got to believe that. You got to confess that. You have to repent. You have to repent. America needs to repent. Point blank. America got a problem with repentance. America has a problem with repentance. Americans can pray. They will read their Bible. They will go to church. But they don't want to repent. What I mean by that, they don't want to stop what they're doing. That's wrong. They don't want to turn away from sin. They don't want to turn away from error. So what will they do? They'll go to these different people like this, these secret organizations that they can just do a little good thing so people can see them, but they don't give up the sin issue. It's about the sin issue. That's what's destroying the whole world. I'm just point blank. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, because people are dying every day and they're going into judgment. But while they're before they go into judgment, what are they listening to? Are they reading the scripture? Are they following after our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Or are they hooked up in all these lodges, all these secret societies? Satanism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalism, Rastafarianism, hermeneutics, anything other than God and Christ. It's time out for that. The Lord is on his way back, and we have to make a decision. You have to make a decision on who you're going to serve. Well, you say, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe in it. So what? It doesn't matter if you don't believe there's a God, if you don't believe there's Jesus Christ, that you don't believe the Word of God. Well, that doesn't change the fact that he is the Son of God. That doesn't change the fact that the Word of God is true. That doesn't change the fact that God created everything that is created. And you're breathing every day. You're breathing every day because God gave you life. The devil is not giving you anything. The devil don't know nothing about life and love. He's a destroyer. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He's a killer. That's all Satan is. All right. I'm sorry. I'm just going to bring it out because we are living in dangerous times and people are dying by the millions. And we care about souls of people, and we're going to tell the truth regardless. Now, I'm going to read something in reference to this polytheism. And as I said, many of you know what that is. It's a belief in many gods. But the reason I'm bringing this out is because what we're talking about, Masonic secrets, as we said earlier, you know, they have, they believe in the Buddhist and the Hindu writings, the Islamic Quran. Then they have the Holy Bible there, and they probably believe in some other things too, because they believe that all these different ways can get you to their God or to their Christ, but it's not the true and living Christ. I'm going to read something to you. Now, polytheism is the belief that there are many gods, but as the breaking of the word down, the Greeks, the poly comes from the Greek word for many, theism from the Greek word for God. Now, polytheism has perhaps been the most dominant theistic view in human history. When you talk about polytheism, it comes from the Greek and Roman mythology. You're talking about Zeus, Apollo, Aphrodite, Poseidon, and these other gods. Then when you get over to Hinduism, which has over 300 million gods, as in Hinduism, in essence, pantheistic, it's pantheistic also. So it does hold to beliefs in many gods, but it's interesting to note that even in the polytheistic religions, one god usually reigns supreme over the other gods, you see. Zeus in Greek, Roman mythology, and Brahman in Hinduism. So you see, they have all these different gods, but you have one main god. Are one ruler God, you see. So I always point to one, but they have all these others that's subservient to their main God. I just wanted to bring that out. Now, I want to bring out some other things, too. Now, some people might say or teach that polytheism is in the Old Testament. They say, but several passages refer to gods in the plural. But one thing I want to bring out, when the Bible is talking about gods, they're basically talking about demons or demigods. They are not God in the sense of God, of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are lesser gods, and therefore they are not gods. But they act like gods. They are truly demons, is what they are. You have demonic activity going on, and they want to try to act like they are gods, but they are not gods. And I'm going to read some things to you in that regard. Now, Exodus 20 and 3, I'm going to read some things to you here. 3 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I'm jumping down to 5 now. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now, that's why we're talking about this, because you get involved in all these different sects. You get involved in masonry, you get involved in skull and bones, you get involved in Satanism, you get involved in all these other false religions, and that can follow your family generation for 3 and 4 generations. That's why we're speaking the way we're speaking, because you can be suffering from something that your grandfather was involved in, or your mother or your father was involved in, or your great-grandfather, and then you're suffering with things you don't know why it's happening. Bad things happen to you. You might go good for a little while, and then the bottom drops out because somebody in your family lineage was involved in some things completely contrary to the will of God. False gods. false gods, false religions. You see? And you got to get that those things broken off of you. And the only way you will get those things broken off of you is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Because you have demonic activity happening in your life. And the only way you're going to break that is through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The only way. Now I'm going to go over to Deuteronomy 10 and 17. I'm going to read something to you there. And you say, well, why are you reading this? Because it has direct correlation with what we're reading. Well, what we're talking about with these masons. Okay. Now, Deuteronomy 10 and 17 reads like this. For the Lord your God is God of gods, and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. So God is God. And he say he's the God of God, saying he is supreme. He's over all of them that these people make up. He is supreme. He is all-knowing, all-powerful, and he's everywhere at the same time. That's God. That's God. That's God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is who I worship and who everyone should worship, because it is he is the true and the living God, and he is all-powerful. And he can deliver man from any and all situations that he might be caught up in. God is the answer, and always has been the answer, and always will be the answer. There's none other but God. There's none other but God. Yahweh, Yah, El Shaddai, Elohim. Amen. Glory to God. 13 and 2, I'm going to read some things here. Now, Deuteronomy 13 and 2 reads, well, I'm going to read 13, 1 through 3. If there arise among you, this is Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 3, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign of the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your hearts and with all your souls. You see there? Now God said something there. He said a false prophet can have a dream, and he can give a sign, and he can work a wonder. But when he says to you, let's go and worship other gods that you don't know, God said, don't hearken unto them. Don't listen to them. Leave them alone. Run away. So what I'm saying is, a lot of these various sects and organizations, they can do some things. They can imitate the things of God. They can work a wonder. They can give you a dream. They can prophesy. But they will lead you astray. They will lead you astray by their words. They'll lead you astray by their lives. And so, therefore, God said, don't follow after them. Now, I'm going to read something that could be a little controversial, but I'm going to bring it out. Now, this is Psalms 82 and 6. Okay. It says, I have said, 82 and 6 reads, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Ah, you say, this is God, say, we're gods. It's not like that. It's a little G God. Now, I'm going to bring out what God was actually talking about. But these people will try to make, say, in masonry, they'll say that, yeah, you are God. You say you can ascend and be Jesus. A lot of religions teach that, you know, false ones, that you can be God, like God in heaven. Or you can be Jesus, like Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Word of God. But that's not what God said. Now, when he said, I have said ye are God, small g, little g, and all of you are children of the Most High, this is what he was actually saying. Now, when God said, ye are gods, it says, so let me just bring this out, give you a definition of this. Ye are gods to mean that human beings can be gods as equal to God in his essence. No, that's not true. The true interpretation of this is found in the proper interpretation of the word God in Hebrew. It is the word Elohim, which is used of God referring to his office as a judge and diviner of justice. In the establishment of the office of judge in the Old Testament, men were given the responsibility of representing the office of God. Thus, the uses of the term Elam would not be confusing to one who understands that the man merely represents Jehovah. Mm-hmm. In this psalm, however, God is condemning those who had perverted justice and had abused their God-given privilege to hold the office of a judge. The warning given in verse 7 is that though they be gods, though they hold this honorable office among men to rule over them as God's representative, yet they are but men and will die like all other men. So when God says ye are gods, he's meaning you are a representative of the Most High God. And you are supposed to speak the words of God because God has given you the authority to speak his word. That don't mean that you're going to be a God like God. It doesn't mean that you can speak things into existence like God. It doesn't mean that. It means that you can speak his word. Now, you can draw people to God by your words, and you can make righteous judgment according to the word of God. You are a representative of God. Okay? You're like an ambassador of God. That's what you are. That's what he's saying. So, you see how men and women have perverted that? I am God. You sure let me can? No, you're not God. And you will never be God in that aspect. But you can be a representative of God. You can speak the words of God. You can keep his commandments. You can do what he says. Now, in that is the true meaning of that word. That is the true meaning of what God was saying. But it has been perverted and flipped to draw off, to take all and bring all the authority and try to make like man is higher than what he is. You remember Nebuchadnezzar when he got lifted up in pride and thought he was all that, and God dropped him down on his hands and knees, and he ate grass like an animal. He thought he was God. God showed him, no, Nebuchadnezzar, you're not God. You're a man. That's what you are. And I've given you the power to become king and to rule over Babylon. Now, when you come to your senses, when you realize who you are and who I am, O King, then you can get up off your knees. I'm just making it plain. No man on the face of the earth, no human being can be Jesus Christ, can be God. Why? Because we have this horrible sin nature from the fall of Adam. So that negated everything right there. That's why Jesus Christ had to come, walk the earth, preach the gospel, teach the word, heal the sick, raise the dead, die, being buried, resurrected on the third day, How? That's why he had to do all that. Because we couldn't handle it. Our forefathers couldn't handle it. They failed. As a result of the fall, we have all this stuff that we have now. Men trying to get in their own way. They're going to make it, they're going to do it their own way. They're going to make it into the kingdom of God their own way. And it doesn't work. It can't work because it's separate from God. Let me read a little more. Let me go into some more things here. Now, ancient Israel fully understood that there was only one true God, but they often did not live as if they believed that to be true. They continued falling into idolatry and the worship of foreign gods. It's kind of what America is doing now, worshiping all kind of foreign gods. They worship anything other than the true and living God. You got more people falling into Satanism than ever before. They're falling into Hinduism. They're falling into Buddhism. They're falling into just about every kind of ism there is out there. But you talk to them about God and Christ, they look at you like you're crazy. What is this? This is a Christian nation, I thought. But why is it that everybody want to be something else other than Christian? Our Christians are crazy in this country now. Fanatical. What is that? Why is that? Because there's a great falling away in the country. Because you have spies coming up in the church. You have masons coming up in the Christian church. Even witches and warlocks, that shouldn't be. That shouldn't be. Satanists, that shouldn't be. The Spirit of God should be there. Where is it? It should be there. Because what the Spirit of God is, the devil is not going to be there. He's not going to stay there. If he comes, he needs to leave. That's the truth of it. Now I'm going to read a few, go through a few more things here. Then we're going to close it off, or I'm going to play a few more sections of the Mason's Secrets out of their own books. But I'm going to read this, then I'll go there. It's important to note, let me go here. The Bible clearly teaches against polytheism. Deuteronomy 6 and 4 tells us, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," Psalm 96 and 5, "for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens," James 2 and 19. "You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. There is only one God. There are false gods and those who pretend to be gods, but there's only one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." So all these other gods that are being taught by these secret sects and societies, leave them alone. They will destroy you, they will tear you down, they will separate you from God and Christ, and they will cause you to be lost in the end. Now, I'm going to play a clip of, all right, praise the Lord. We're going to just end it and close it at this time. Of course, I want to bring out another term for you. It's called pantheism. It's a word from the Greek, pan meaning all and theos meaning God. Now, that belief consists of everything composes or an all-encompassing immanent God, or that the universe or nature is identical with divinity. Pantheists thus do not believe in a personal anthropomorphic God, but differ in exact interpretation of the term. Pantheism also was popularized in the modern era as both a theology and philosophy based on the work of Baruch Spinoza, whose treatise Ethics was an answer to Descartes' famous dualist theory that the body and spirit are separate. Spinoza held that the two are the same, And this monism is a fundamental quality of his philosophy. He was described as a God-intoxicated man and used the word God to describe the unity of all substance. Though the term pantheism was not coined until after his death, Spinoza is regarded as the most celebrated advocate of pantheism. All right, here's another definition. It says it's considered a theological and philosophical position concerning God. Viewed as a religious position, pantheism has been described as the polar opposite of atheism. From this standpoint, pantheism is the view that everything is part of an all-encompassing immanent God. All forms of reality may then be considered either modes of that being or identical with it. Others hold that pantheism is a philosophical position closely related to atheism. The term pantheism is the view that the universe and God are identical. So you see, you have a lot of beliefs that will basically just turn you away from God or say that anything is God other than God. And that is absolutely false. Absolutely false. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to pick up next week or next Friday. We're going to discuss more on the Masonic sequence. There are about 16 parts that we're going to deal with in that area. But we'll take a little bit at a time, and we'll go that way. So I would like to say to you all out there listening, we thank God for you listening. We pray that you have learned something, that something has been, revelation has been put forth to you. We pray that you are blessed. And we're going to close with this prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray and we thank you for all of our listeners, Lord. We ask that you continue to touch their minds and their hearts and continue to give them revelation of your word. Father God, we come against any hindering spirit that would desire to steal the word of God from them. Father God, we pray and we ask that you touch them physically and spiritually, touch them financially, Father God, that your perfect will be done in their life. Father God, we ask that you bless them according to your word, according to your will. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen and amen. Now, as I said, I thank you all for listening on tonight. We're going to pick up next week, next Friday, 8 o'clock p.m., and we're going to do a continuation of the Masonic Secrets. You all be blessed. We'll catch you next time. Thank you and goodbye.